Once again we adventure to read this evening by way of a text the words that we had this morning. You'll find them in the 20th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th verse, the 29th chapter, the 1st of Chronicles, the 11th verse. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. You'll remember that we've already spoken a little, and very briefly, concerning the greatness and the power and the glory that God hath shown us as it is revealed in his sacred word, and we hope in some humble measure unto us as we have traveled through life's journey up till now. But we were speaking at the close a little concerning the victory. Not to take up the valuable time this evening, we go on from there, from the victory. That victory which he obtained for us. We mentioned how He gained a victory over all things here on earth, and gained a victory for on our behalf. But there was a victory gained when he came here on earth, when he gained the victory over all his enemies, of which we read this night, and those who would have stopped the disciples' mouths. Sinner, don't you be surprised if there be those enemies within you, and some in the religious world around you, that will attempt and desire that your mouth might be stopped. But since our Savior so plainly declared, if these should hold their peace, those stones would cry out. And so there again he has gained a victory, whereby when he says, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Oh, that's been a comfort to me in the past, when I've been ready to hold, and as we have felt it of late, open thy mouth wide, and I'll fill it. And if God fills it, neither world, sin, nor hell can any wise reverse it. I am sure there's enough in us would reverse it. I am sure the enemy of souls is so strong that he comes and seems to well nigh reverse it. And I'm sure that the religious world, destitute of vital realities, cannot reverse it. For it has been throughout the ages, right the way through the Word of God, they have not been able to stop the mouth only in one way, and then it has been in God's purposes that they might be dispatched into eternal and everlasting bliss, away from all those who have endeavored to stop their mouth. And therefore, at this particular point, may we be very clear upon this, that were it not the Lord of our land that is up to now preserves us and keeps us, kill those who would thou destroy us and cast our name out as evil. It's a wonderful blessing to be among them, but a very uncomfortable feeling as you think of the consequences should this come to pass. Oh, my friends, may you and I just here for a moment ever cause our prayers to go forth, that he will preserve unto us our privileges, that he may pour on our behalf, gain the victory over the powers of evil in our land, and pour on behalf of his people, that we may prove his protecting hand, and that though we be but a few, scattered here and there in this our island, that we may prove to be the God of Gideon, who is able to save even by a few. Oh, my friend, that our prayers be vehement. May we be favored to cry unto him daily, and that he will indeed overthrow those who are endeavoring to win what they may so-called unity of the church. When I say the complete church of Christ is complete already in him, that this church, his church, which he redeemed with his precious blood, cannot be united with the church of Satan, neither can it be united with his kingdom, or the dividing line that which these things. So that he has gained the victory, and he can and will, in his own time and way, give the victory over these things, I believe, though none of us know how severe the warfare may come. But if favored in his strength to stand in the faith that was once delivered to the saints, that we may not turn to the right hand or to the left. For again I say, God's people cannot be in unity with the sons of Belial, who worship an unknown God, though professing worship him in their own way and manner. May you and I be kept, as only by his power, just going back to that for a moment, if we are kept, and through his victory that he has gained over the powers of evil within us, and given us that desire in our hearts to stand fast, may he give us an enduring grace, grace to stand fast, not with a bigotedness. Oh no, God will not receive that, but not either to as many may endeavor to split hairs in religion, and so on, and appear to be great Christians, not that, but by the inward witness of the Spirit, in the soul, causing us to want divine realities and those things which may be made known to us by the sealing of the Holy Ghost, that we may prove that he hath gained the victory for us and hath delivered us from the errors of the day, and delivered us too from the leaven of the Pharisees. Oh, what a mercy to be delivered from that leaven. Some of us were there once, you know. You've been seeing it for some, or such for some of you. Some of us were well overcome by that leaven. Such an easy way, you know, to happen, as they think. And so we thought that it seemed more easy to have a little of this world and also religion. But since God hath proved, as he says in the word, Moab is my washpot, and over Edom will I cast my shoe. greatness and the power and the glory and the victories and the majesty. When we try to come and speak of the majesty of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, words well nigh fail us. Nevertheless, His majesty is so great. You see, we do not speak of any but the king or queen upon the throne as being that one that is entitled, according unto the customs of the land, to be called majesty. So this shows us that he is that only one, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who have any right to receive the majesty that is due unto him as he dwells king in Zion. Oh, what a mercy, he dwells king in Zion. Is Zion here below as well as above? One Zion. Oh, yet not a divided city, but a city that is divided against itself cannot stand. But this city, the Zion here below and the Zion above, is king in his majesty over all. And if you and I are citizens of that Zion, we shall prove from time to time that we would ascribe majesty unto him. And then have made known when he was here on earth the words we read just now, when he went to Bethany and to Bethany, and how he rode on that colt, how you see there his disciples ascribe majesty and power unto him, and they beheld him, and also we see him there as that one according to divine prophecy, that he should come and that he should ride upon an ass's colt, so that while some might give us, and they do, I've heard much of it of late, concerning the Old Testament, that Christ is not to be preached from the Old Testament. He is there, recorded, and also here, in this precious church, a verse here before us, as we see him in his majesty. Well, he was seen in his majesty when he came here on earth, when his dear disciples beheld him, when he called them from the things here below, and in that call, which we spoke of here recently, in that call was compelled to leave their livelihood and their parents for the things of God. That was a divine call, and they, doesn't mean everyone is called just like that, but they had a special call because God had determined to make them, as he said, fishes of men. And so they saw his majesty in that call, being called from those things, and they were willing to leave it. And so it is that there will be, we behold his majesty, we shall be made willing to leave the world's deceitful shore and leave it to return no more. We shall be willing to leave all our associates that we may have had in our unregeneracy, give them all up. Something here a little closer. If we're not able to give them up, God will take them from us. We thank him for that. That those things that we could not give up, that he took them from us, so that in that we see his majesty, that he ruleth and reigneth preeminent in the hearts of God's punish people and overthrow the kingdom of Satan, so that in his majesty we see that he reigns over and in the soul of God's people. Is there one here saying, reign o'er us as king, accomplish thy will, and powerfully bring us forth from all ill? Well, it is to reign o'er you as king, sinner, if that prayer of thine is sincere, and he comes and reigns over you as king, be prepared for the battle. For I say here, that when he begins to show his majesty, to overthrow those things that may be reigning in thy heart now, may I warn at that time, that you may feel ready to faint, you may be ready to give up, and you may begin to wonder what he's about to do with you. And when he's chastening his gospel, you will fear and tremble, lest he have departed from you. But be of good courage, for I say this is the one, is the way God deals with his people, to bring them away from the world and the things of it, and to bring them away from all false doctrine, and to bring them away from those that hold the word of God in their hand and cannot enter into those things that you and I have been compelled to believe because of the revealing of them and the walking on the mount. May I say here, do not sanctify many companions, sinner, but you'll find now that one traveler to eternity who will be able to walk with you in these divine things, and in it all ascribes majesty unto him. It's a wonderful thing how faith answers to faith, as faith answers to faith in water, so does the heart of man to man. Or have you ever felt it, sinner, when in contact with another? Doesn't mean you have a long conversation, I don't mean that. We might have a long conversation and appear to be very religious and nothing in it, but it's having a few precious words dropped from another into the soul. Oh, how sweet that is when we come in contact. I remember, if I may bring away here, I remember at one place I was at some few years ago, how I was speaking about the strangers, and I said, in that text, we are no more strangers than foreigners. We remember these days. And so it was, there was two men full of religion, and thanking for my message, and said, we thank you very much, brother, and so on. But my friend, having a poor woman, came up to me, clasped my hand, she's no more strangers than foreigners. She can say no more with the tears falling down her cheeks. That's real. That's where majesty is seen. When heart to heart is knit together in a few words, and you see tears of contrition and sorrow. Oh, what a mercy did we feel that blessed union, one to another, here on earth. There then I will see and behold his majesty in the separating effect of those things. But just a word here concerning those two. We do not cut them off, you know. Oh, no. For God is a sovereign. Since he has shone into our dark hearts and delivered us from false ways, so he can. And he does sometimes. We have to leave that side of it. It's not for us to condemn, for God alone can condemn, and he has already done it in his purposes. Oh, what a mercy it is then to be kept from condemning others but I'm only trying to set forth the difference between that majesty seen in the uniting of the heart to heart in the things of God. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all in is in heaven, in the heaven and in the earth is thine. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine, as so that all things are his, and by him all things consist. Now here I believe there is a dividing line. Since all things are his, that means all the inhabitants of the earth are his. And I want to be clear here, they are his in this sense, that the clay which all mankind are likened unto, it's his, that he may mold and shape in it according unto his divine purpose, and mold some unto order, and some unto disorder. And that's where we have it, I believe, shown us in the word that counts beneath this disproof, that all things that are in heaven and in earth, all things that are taken that first the earth, all things that are in the earth, are his. That he hath a just right to do whatsoever he will with all mankind. Though he close, but though he true, faith receives it, the old man of sin rejects it. When carnal reason worketh, it cannot fathom. Or how I have been tried once or twice in the past few weeks concerning this separating line, as the old man of sin, the carnal reason of one's heart, says, well, how does that seem just, that even some of our own flesh might be molded and shapen as vessels of dishonor? And why should we, any of us, be made and shapen vessels to honor? So that he is in his majesty and in his power and in his might, he hath done all according unto his divine purpose, as recorded by the sacred tree in the eternal covenant, that is ordered in all things of sure, as from before the foundation of the world. And though your carnal heart and mind would reverse it, though men would reverse it, his decree shall stand, not like the writing on the sand, but firm and sure and everlasting. And so that if your eye are found among the vessels of honor, it is by his purpose. This will humble us. This will bring us to ascribe majesty unto his name. This will bring us to say, why me, O blessed Lord? Why such a wretch as me, who must have ever laid in hell, were not salvation free? This will bring us to lay low at his feet. This will cause us, like the dear woman, to come and wash his feet with our tears, and wipe them with the hairs of our head in substance. And so he will bring us to worship him and him only. Oh, what a mercy it is if we have any hope in our hearts. Though day by day we may have many questionings and many fears arise, but through the workings of the Spirit within, that who can tell screen off if at any time we have these fears, that he has thoughts of peace and not of evil, toward us, to give us an expected end. Then if he has, they would to us in eternity, sinner. Those thoughts of peace and not of evil, it is in the mind of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, were to for his people then, for there is no art before his God. There is no change with him. There is no altering. The decree has gone forth out of his mouth. I will let and done surrender, so that he hath entirely accomplished, and not only accomplished, but he has sealed it with the signet, his own precious blood, as so that it is signed and sealed and ratified, as so that there is none in heaven or on earth can alter that thing, or that covenant is so precious unto the child of God. For they know, if they are rightly taught, had it not been for this covenant with man, with God and man, that there would never have been a way made for one sinner to enter into eternal bliss. So then he decreed that a number of mankind, I say a number which no man can number, but God has numbered them, numbered them every one, and they shall stand before him in white robes, in the pureness and holiness of Christ, and none other. Oh, I know how close this is, but I must declare it, because it's so perfectly clear, and it is that that we desire to embrace the sovereignty of God, so rich, so free. Well, there will be, I say, in our heart, ascribing majesty unto him, that all things are both in heaven and in earth, he is over them all. And so as he is over those things in earth, so he is in heaven. For God hath committed into his hands divine power and majesty, as he is there reigning as King of glory, King of peace, to administer all the needs of the subjects of his grace. Whatever need you have, sinner, whatever need you may have come into God's house today, the King of glory, in majesty and power, sits upon the throne of majesty above, to answer thy every need. Bring thy needs to him at the throne of grace. Fall down before him there. Come with all thy destitution. Come with all thy torments, which Satan may bring upon you. Come with all, not only thy soul troubles, which half times are many, but come with all thy personal troubles in circumstances, whatever they may be, bring them to him. And those of you who have to labor for the bread that perishes, I'm a living witness. If you are unable to bring your troubles to him, even as you may come in contact day by day, then he'll overrule them ultimately for your good. And he'll destroy those, in the sense he'll remove them out of your way, who may oppress you. I can't go into that here, not the place in the pulpit to go into it, but I'm a living witness to these things. And while to be stood up for my help, and may I say this too, just briefly, when working in London, oh, how I used to often say, oh, that I may find favour in the sight of those who are in authority over me. And how many times did I prove that to be answered during the 21 years I was working there among the world. Oh, the truth of God, and how he comes in his majesty and power, proving to us and that he is at one who is over all, both in heaven and in earth, as he overrules our daily lives for us, though sometimes we cannot perceive it. Sometimes it's so strange that we wonder if after all he heard our prayers. How too, on the one occasion when he came unto this poor sinner and his servant, to this poor sinner, and said, "Sir, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And he added them, sinner. Yes, indeed, his humble made his feet sometimes to see what he's added unto this poor sinner. Given me those things, and more than I needed, or more than I ever thought in those days. All things I need him, so that he is over all things, both in heaven and in earth. Thine is the kingdom. Kingdom of this, so that all things in his kingdom belong unto him. Well, how do they belong unto him? Because he purchased it. That's why. He purchased his kingdom. And though it was committed into his hand in the covenant, and yet this kingdom needed to be redeemed. It needed the sacrifice of God, even the Son of God, that he might pay the demanded price that the Father demanded, that the kingdom, his kingdom here on earth, might be purified and made holy and sufficient, he washed and in his righteousness, that it might be received by the Father in heaven, for there is no impurity could enter heaven. Oh no, begone the thought that anything whatsoever could enter that holy place where Father, Son, and Holy Ghost dwell. What a depth there is here. We must be made holy, sinner. Holy men, and only they, walk in this blessed way of love. Not that you'll find it in yourself, you'll never find it there, to our dying day. Holiness is found in the soul, in the new man of grace, that new nature which God has made. And that's why I believe that holy nature detests that other side, the sinful nature. Oh, how when you lay the one on the one hand and the one on the other, what a vast difference between the two. So there'll be in the soul ever striving for holiness, to feel it in the soul more and more, and and to bless him for it. How here in the 20th verse, when they saw all these things, it says here in the 20th verse, and David said unto all the congregation, "Now bless the Lord your God." And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers, and this is the point, and bowed down their heads and worshipped the Lord and the King. And so there will be, I am sure, in the hearts of his people, a desire to come and worship him, worship the King, and fall down before him. Well, there'll be a day when we hope he'll bring us to this kingdom, that kingdom which supposes of immense delight, a kingdom where his people reign with him forever, since they are made kings and priests unto God. And you know, as we consider this kingdom, it is that kingdom of which a stubborn violence, yes, a stubborn violence throughout all generations, but we read the violent take it by force, so that there will be times when there will be a battling through all the obstacles here below, that we may be favored to take the kingdom in and through the victory of Jesus and through his atoning sacrifice to enter into that kingdom forever and ever. Oh, my dear Father, the last words he spoke, as much as my dear mother could hear at least, he says it's a glorious kingdom. And how he felt it, I believe, in his soul for that few moments. He only whispered it, but my mother heard it, and it's recorded in one of the standards, one of the old standards. And how I remember that time, oh, I thought, I wish it might be my thought, if I can only feel at the last moment that it is a glorious kingdom. Thine is the kingdom. It is his kingdom then. And there will be that thinking upon that kingdom from time to time, where his people will behold him in his kingly glory. Behold him as he is crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That dear sacred hand that was once crowned with thorns here below, that you and I might receive the kingdom. Same dear head, sinner, as so that although our wicked men had taunted him as being king, and Pilate, how he had put up that superscription above his head, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews," and how true. In this sense, he is King of the spiritual Jews. For he is not a Jew that is one outwardly, but one that is inwardly. That is to say, and the circumcised heart, that is the covering taken away, and that he might be King over his people, so they could not destroy his kingly glory. So you see, they were the means to crucify him, that you and I might live in the kingdom forever and ever with him, to behold him there as the King of glory and the King of grace. Oh, it is your tongue and mine. Might a few remaining days in the wilderness be favored to honor him as that king. Honor him more. Oh, that we could walk more circumspectly. That we might remember him day by day as he is that king above. That we may, and to have some inkling, the day will come when we shall see him as he is, one that I shall be satisfied when I awake in his glory. No satisfaction will then, sinner. Not real satisfaction. There'll be a temporary satisfaction, if I might rightly put it, when we feel the sweetness of his love within. You'll have those satisfying times when you may have a taste of that living bread to satisfy your hunger. But there'll be no real satisfaction until we come to that place which one has said in the Word that he would be satisfied when he awoke in his likeness. Wonderful thing, isn't it, poor puny man? then he says, O Lord, thou art exalted as head above all. So he is exalted above all. The Father exalted him to be a prince and a savior. He exalted him far above all principalities and powers, that is to say, the principality of hell, the powers of evil, and the powers that dwell in your heart and mind. He exalted him above all these powers, exalted him then to be a prince and a savior, exalted him to be one sufficient to overthrow all your enemies of mine, exalted him at his own right hand, there to be our high priest, whereunto we may come in confession to lead our cause before him. Whatever burden you've got, whatever trouble, whatever anxiety, may you be enabled to agree with him. Don't misunderstand me here. We all tell each other our troubles and trials, rightly so, because we feel that each other and we understand each other in these things. But you know, my friends, there's only one helper. Only one helper. With all the kindness we have received and do receive from our friends, there's only one helper. He that has been exalted as head above all. And he is that one that helps with a child of need and trouble. Sometimes he does it through our friends. I must admit that. But it's through him. His help. And so when we look upon these things as he'd be with us in the past, we have to say, his love in times past forbids me to think he'll leave me at last in sorrow to see. His sweet Ebenezer we have in review, confirms his good pleasure to help me quite through. Encourage you to go again and again to the high priest of ours that has been exalted at the right hand of the Father, especially to hear the prayers of his people. And thus, when in trouble, may you and I being able to come to him. Some of us find day by day there's plenty to pray about. Those around us may not know it, perhaps, how often we do pray. But you've heard me say so many times, not in many words, but at times when the soul cries out, and they cries out unto God, that he would come, and that he would deliver us out of any particular power that we may be in. Sometimes sicknesses of the body, but greater and heavier are the sicknesses of soul. For the sickness of the body will end one day, but the sicknesses of the soul we sometimes fear will never end. Oh, how these exercises, but God is above all, and he will cause the sicknesses of the soul to be healed. He heals them with the heavenly bath. He heals them with his bath. He heals them by pouring in the oil and wine. Keep the oil and wine of the gospel. You've got a festering sore, sinner. There's nothing can heal it but the heavenly bath of Jesus. If he in his heavenly love sees fit to apply that atonement, it'll heal in a moment. It will indeed. Oh, to hear him say, "Thy saint hath made thee whole. Go in peace." I wish that might be the experience of some poor sinner here tonight, who may have come into the house of God feeling full of disease in soul, to might hear his voice saying, "Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace." So then he exalted as head above all. He said over the church, above all things in the church, that he hath so ordered it, that though there are those who may set themselves up as head of the church here on earth, there is but one head. Call no man on earth Father, for one is your Father, even your Father in heaven. And all those other things will be brought to nothing, my friends, in that day when God shall make up his jewels. There will be that fulfillment of what we read just now, that there shall not one stone remain upon another, of the city of destruction, of the city that all the wicked dwell in, here on earth, for his head over all, that when that command goes forth, the wicked must be deserted and cast out, while the righteous shall hold on his way, even unto the end, and be gathered unto his fathers, even into that blessed abode, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal, where there'll be no more combats with the enemy, no more weakly body, no more disease that is caused through sin in the body, no, but that which will be forever and ever in the holiness of him that is above, exalted above all. Oh, how true that the day will come when this mortal must put on immortality. Oh, to have that hope, that we should one day put on immortality, to be forever with the Lord. We love to be with him now, but for a moment, if he so graciously be pleased to come into our poor hearts. Oh, what a change, isn't it? When dressed for weeks, months, and it may be years, we'll be without a visit, and then he comes once again into our hearts. More frequent let thy visit be, or let them longer than ours one day. The long while since some of us have had a real visit, we've had touches, but a visit is another thing. To have a visit, we shall be able to come. You were in contact with him. But I say here, the only place where we are permitted to use that word of closing with Christ, and nowhere else. There's no such thing as closing in with Christ as the free will of others, but we know, but at a time, once or twice, we hope we've known of it in our short lines, but no one will be able to come into his presence. Let us help in that thing. They're able to say, we hope, my beloved is mine, and I am his. Be a wonderful verse. If in that hour we are being, we should be able to, we are unable to embrace him, and there have no clinging to any one thing on earth. There to be fear and separation of all things here below. Our Lord then, and is that one that is exalted as head above all, head then over his church above, over his church below. He Cato is reborn. Cato with them in that. He protects them and preserves them and keeps them. Well, I feel I must give over them. May the Lord be pleased to have his blessing. It is true remarks for him, but it won't be the most.